Good morning, everybody. It is Barrett with BarrettIndependent.com. A bit of a whopper coming in from sources close to the president for 2024. We're going to get into that this morning here on the Bear Brief as I hop over to Patreon and drop the link in for the patrons and hit publish now. Welcome, muchos thingos going onos today. First, we're going to drop over to OBS and do the, screen share. We've got four things we're going to talk about this morning. First, we're going to do Threat Matrix, Monday morning Threat Matrix. Next, we're going to do Trump 2024 nominee, the presumptive nominee per CPAC. Whoa, bro. Lots of people very happy about that. I'm sure lots of people that are a bit threatened and or triggered by that, I'm sure. And then segment two, the Lone Star State of Mind. And segment three, look at all those socialists. I've been doing a lot of research into the Great Reset and who's involved in it. Thinking very specifically, okay, keep saying, what are our lines of effort? What are our lines of effort? And I don't have an answer. Well, in order for, at least for me, to develop my own lines of effort, I need to better understand their lines of effort. So I've started laying that out, and I'm still building the skeleton, and I've got 48 pages of notes, and I'm starting to see some patterns here. So segment three, look at all those socialists. So jumping right into it, Threat Matrix this morning. Good morning to everybody in the chat. None ya Bizmass Prepper, Panhandle Prepper, and Militant Roots. And, of course, please like, comment, subscribe, share. That helps us greatly in our battle against the YouTube algorithmic robots. The Threat Matrix. yum. Winter Storm Uri created semi-localized food scarcity as stores were wiped clean and transportation and preservation faced issues related to power and gas shortages. It's no longer editorializing now. You're not a crazy person if you're prepared. I tell you guys all the time, you don't want to prepare for doomsday, you want to prepare for Tuesday. Then if doomsday comes along, you're good to go. But that's not... I'm not preparing because the Panamanian paratroopers are going to land a couple of helos in my hayfield and come and violently take my position by force, or the reptilian overlords are going to land their mothership right on top of my house and then harvest myself and all my children for adrenochrome. That's not why I'm preparing. I don't give two flips about that stuff. If and until it proves itself to be a viable threat, I don't care. I care because the grid goes down all the time because there's snowstorms and rainstorms and ice storms and mudslides and earthquakes and hurricanes and nor'easters and tornadoes and, yeah, because life happens. Because you break a leg or lose a job or get sick or have to take some time off or need to travel or have an unexpected expense, which means you don't have the money for food, but you got food in the pantry, so you're good to go. Because life happens. Shout out to Arkansas Living, by the way. Awesome hats, great beard, deep, low voice like this. He talks real low like this. And he said some interesting things about me on a video recently. They were good things talking about the Prepper Notebook. I appreciate you, bro. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Food scarcity. Farmers reported livestock deaths and a lack of feed due to the cascading effects of the historic storm. That, combined with the loss of a large amount of Texas's wheat, will spell more food scarcity in the future. Yes! I love food scarcity. It's so good for humanity. You know, it only says in the Bible, not joking, 87 times. 87 times. From Genesis to Revelation, scarcity of food. It's almost like the Father was trying to get your attention. Hey, scarcity of food is an issue for my people. You know, it literally says in Deuteronomy 30, if you diligently obey the voice of Yahuwah your Elohim, then your storehouses will be blessed. Almost like, hey, you should have some storehouses, because the Bible says the words scarcity of food or famine 87 times. Yeah, I know. It's almost like if you just pick it up and read it, it would make sense or something. Economic crisis, insurance claims will likely amount to tens of billions of dollars in Texas alone due to storm damage and millions of families already under financial pressure from pandemic-related restrictions have found the winter emergency to be an expensive one, i.e. ripple effects. You know, this pandemic bullcrap, I'm so over it that I'm over it. We've talked about this at length here. You cannot tell me to stay home. Just because in the eyes of the government, which derives its just powers from the consent of the governed, and only from the consent of the governed, just because the government thinks that your job isn't essential, doesn't mean that your job isn't essential to you feeding your family. So as discussed openly and repeatedly here, kiss my hairy white ass, I am gonna go to work and feed my people and pay my bills. Period, the end. I'm not going to sit around and wait for a handout that's not coming and that will be inadequate when it gets here. And so the financial pressure from pandemic-related restrictions, move, get out, leave, go somewhere else. Well, you don't understand, Barrett. No, I get it. I've lived in 38 of the lower 48 United States, recently relocated within the last couple of years from North Texas, Dallas area. Beautiful, if you're into concrete and, you know, the same 50 businesses, you know, carbon copies stamped in every town, to nowhere, Oklahoma. Yeah, cut my taxes by 90%, upped my freedom by about 300%. Oh, did I mention I did it with three kids and an 82-year-old grandma with no debt? Yeah, so it can be done. GTFO, bro. Oh, the pandemic. Yeah, well, you know what? It's less pandemic-y here than anywhere else. Tyranny. The White House and Big Tech are colluding to censor free speech that pertains to vaccines. Of course they are, because it doesn't fit the narrative. Rome burning. Winter storm Uri has created significant upset within the supply chain, food production, utilities, sanitation, and more. Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like those just-in-time logistics don't work if you're not just-in-time. There's no resiliency there. This is a big part of why Texas experienced the blackouts, is because Texas is notorious for operating with as little headroom as possible on their grid. So they don't have the surge capacity. If they need a 20% surge and all they have is a 3% surge, you're at a 17% deficit. Yeah, no headroom. Same thing with the just-in-time logistics. No headroom, no excess, no storehouses that have been blessed. Oh, man, I guess we're on a theme today. Also, under Rome is burning. Trump is the Republican Party now. Yeah. Yeah, he said that in a thing that we're going to look at momentarily. And disinformation, woke culture appears to be gaining power as it spreads from schools into workplaces and the public sphere. This also stands or falls into the kiss my hairy white ass column. We as a people, us, the Bear Nation, conservative-minded people, libertarians, people that just want to be left the hell alone to live their own life, raise their children, love their wives, eat their own food, butcher their own cows, play with their raffles. We need to be uncancelable. We need to be uncancelable. And I don't believe that's a word, but we're going to go with it because it's my show. So, uncancelable. And what I mean by that is we need to be resilient and independent. As individuals, we need to be able to produce our own food, provide our own security, harvest our own water, make our own money. Yeah, that's a big one. Get out of debt, get off the hamster wheel of life. And as a group, as a coalition, we need our own platforms. We need our own banks. We need our own entertainment. We need our own information. We need our own education. There's two Americas. Like, we're here now. It's not a theory. It's not a nice talking point. No, there's two Americas. There's here where I am, where we homeschool and butcher cattle and sheep and talk at iPhones on the internet and sell first aid kits and operate ministries that rescue and rehabilitate trafficking survivors, all without the permission of anybody, because we're free men and women and we don't need it. And if you feel like you need to exert your authority on us, we say, bless you, now kiss my hairy white ass. No, because these are the laws and we're well informed and we will abide by them, but do not force my hand, sir or madam. There's that reality. And then there's the, I'm going to wear 2, maybe 3 masks inside of my own apartment that I'm not allowed to leave and I can't go to work because I'm not an essential person. But hopefully the government will show up and save me from myself, because this global pandemic is so bad that almost as many people as normal have died. So we have to be uncancelable. Because the people that are driving the narrative right now, that are determining your suitability for publication, for lending, for promotion, those people, they don't like you. They don't like me. We see that all the time here on YouTube. They don't like me at all. They don't like you. I was telling my kids about this the other day. Hey, we need to do a better job of making sure that the people we're giving our attention to are worthy of it, because many of the people that my children would like to pay attention to are, you know, they're in Hollywood, in the entertainment industry. My son loves this Marvel stuff because he's a 12-year-old boy. And I'm like, that's cool. Do you know that Hollywood is a huge supporter of all these gun bills that are going around right now, like H.R. 127, which makes them massive hypocrites because they're earning money with firearms on screen and then they're banning your right to own them, son? No, I didn't know that. I was like, so maybe Captain America's cool. I don't know, because I don't watch that nonsense. Maybe he's cool, maybe he isn't, but you know what's really cool? We hold these truths to be self-evident. You know what's really cool? Shall not be infringed. You know what really matters? Real life. Not make-believe laying sideways on the couch with the clicker in your hand trying to be entertained by the machine. And this happens in my house. So these conversations have to be had everywhere, okay? We are by no means perfect. Do we still have a live stream? We certainly do. 685 people, $1.99 in chat revenue, and 228 likes. I appreciate y'all. Hey, go ahead and throw us a thumbs up if you could, please. That helps us greatly. And also share this out. Hami Biscuits, good morning, wife. You are awesome. My wife and a brother replumbed our house yesterday in 6 hours in the cold and the wet. Because, you know, everybody's bitching about the storm. We didn't have no water. Well, we didn't have water from the rural water district. We had plenty of water because we're us. But we didn't have, city water or rural water. Good morning, Cody Willis. Good morning. All right, listen, throw the thumbs up. Share this out to people that need to see it, because we're actively being censored by Google and YouTube. So, moving right along. If you need to contact us, get off of here, pop-up. If you need to contact us, you can find us at bareindependent.com right here. That's /umlaut.com is how you spell Bear Independent. I mean, honestly, people, come on. There's no A's in independent, okay? Bareindependent.com. Go to contact, hit the contact button. And then the lovely, talented Dance Monkeys will pop up right here. You can reach them at intel@, and this is for your good news and your silver linings and what's going on out there in the world with you. I want to know what's going on out there in the world with you. Okay, fabulous. Patreon.com. If you go to Patreon, see right here? See this Patreon right here? You get all the links, all the things. It's right here. I post the link so that you can most definitely find it. You just go to patreon.com, put in Bear Independent in the search bar. You'll find us. It's $1 a month or $10 a year. And it is the backup to YouTube because let's see, if I go to published posts right over here, look at all these posts that you're not seeing. Here's the brief that you're seeing. X-Drill at the Range just post this morning, the special report, the live stream, training for urbanites, the report, Zoom mastermind call, coffee time with Bear, apportioning a homestead, bug out loadout plan, coffee time with Bear, agrarian lifestyle in the word, a write-up on preparedness and not really preparedness, my Glock 21C holster and modifications, yada, 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 yada. Look at all this stuff that's here on Patreon that you never see out there on YouTube. And the reason is it's not friendly on YouTube. It doesn't work well for the algorithms. All right. Also, speaking of not working well together, let's talk about Nikki Haley and Trump. From MSN News by Chris Salilizalala. I think that's how you pronounce that right there. CNN editor at large. Wow. Editor at large, eh? I feel like that's like something that you released onto the people. It's like a Godzilla monster and it's just rolling out there at large. Nikki Haley's theory of the case when if she runs for president in 2024 is pretty simple. I'm the parts of Donald Trump you liked without any of the parts you didn't like. That's the case she's trying to make. She's got kind of a butt chin, doesn't she? Like a butt chin with a pimple on it. It's weird. All right, she literally just said that in an interview with Politico's Tim Alberta recently. Here's the quote. Quote, I think what we need to do is to take the good that he built, leave the bad that he did, and get back to a place where we can be a good, valuable, effective party. End quote. Makes sense, except that there is a 0% chance that Trump or the base that he commands is going to go along with that plan. Witness the reporting from Politico Thursday afternoon. Quote, Nikki Haley reached out to former President Donald Trump on Wednesday to request a sit down at Mar-a-Lago, but a source familiar tells Playbook that he turned her down. The two haven't spoken since the insurrection on 6 Jan when Haley blasted Trump for inciting his supporters to storm the Capitol. Pause, that's some bull shonky because he did not incite any violence at the Capitol. We know this. We were broadcasting live that day. He did not incite any violence at the Capitol. Was there violence at the Capitol? Yes. Did he incite it? No. He said multiple times, let's peaceably go up there and show him what we're all about. Paraphrasing. Back to the article. You're either all in on Trump or he sees you as all out, and therefore fair game to be either A, ignored, or B, attacked. And the only way to stay all in is to back him completely on every single thing that he does, no questions asked. That's not true. Now, I relate to this part of the article here. You are either all in on Trump or he sees you as all out. Yeah, no gray area. How many times do I have to say that? You're either in or you're out. You're hot or you're cold. Jesus in Revelation, Laodicea says, because you were lukewarm, I would spit you out of my mouth. I would rather that you were hot or you were cold. Okay, so if you're out, you are fair game to be ignored or attacked. This is life, people. The velvet gloves are going to come off of the iron fists as things continue to tighten, as things continue to contract. The velvet gloves are going to come off of the iron fists. We're not going to be masking the anymore. It's just a, yeah, yeah. So, however, and the only way to stay all in is to back him completely on every single thing he says and does, no questions asked. This is what the article says. I disagree, but you do not mock the man, businessman, president, man in general. You don't mock the man, you don't use a man, especially for political expediency, because those that are accustomed to wielding power will remember that, and they will effing destroy you given the opportunity, because it's part of how you execute power. You destroy your opponent completely, and you guard your reputation with everything that you have. And so this butt chin with a pimple looking lady over here, Nikki Haley, was talking trash about him on the 6th. He remembered that. Now she wants his political endorsement for president? Hell no. Not going to happen. She played the power game wrong. She looked at the short-term gains of denouncing Trump in the moment rather than having the self-control to realize the long-term gains of requiring his endorsement for a 2024 race. Says me. That's my political commentary. But also, that's kind of the nuanced strategic approach. The tactical approach is over here from The Guardian. Trump to tell CPAC he is Republican presumptive 2024 nominee. So he's running. So he don't give two flying flips about Nikki Haley and her ambitions because she's a nobody with a butt chin and he's Donald J. Trump. To the article from Martin Pengelly in New York 56 minutes ago. Donald Trump will reportedly tell the Conservative Political Action Conference in Florida this week that he is the man to drain the Washington swamp as the Republicans' presumptive 2024 nominee. Let's just pause right there a moment. Oh my gosh, what is up with this on my screen? How to easily clean earwax. You have got to go. Get away from me. That is disgusting. You're an abomination. All right, so Republicans' presumptive 2024 nominee. 4 years, after 4 years of Biden-Harris, if, when Donald John Trump runs in 2024, assuming that the votes can be counted appropriately, I think landslide like the world has never seen before. Gosh dang, man. And I think that they, the big they, and the Republicans and the Democrats are going to do everything they can to keep that from happening. You know, we, the collective, us, the conservative half of the nation, I think give the Republicans way too much slack. As an organization, they're garbage. You shall know them by their fruits, and their fruits suck. And we can read in John chapter 15 that if you bear bad fruit, you get cut off from the vine and you are burned with all the dead branches. Yeah, so bearing bad fruit is as bad or worse than bearing no fruit at all. So my humble opinion, I think the vast majority of politicians in general, regardless of which type of NASCAR uniform you're wearing at the D.C. Capitol, I think they're all a bunch of scumbags. Every single one of them is a bunch of scumbags, whether they have an R or a D after their name, because you shall know them by their fruits. Now, that being said, back to the article. Trump will address CPAC on Sunday, his subject, the future of the Republican Party. On Monday, citing anonymous sources, the news site Axios reported his plan to assume the mantle. An unnamed, air quote, longtime advisor was quoted as saying Trump's speech to the right-wing event, oh, it's so right-wing, will be a show of force with the message, quote, I may not have Twitter or the Oval Office, but I'm still in charge, end quote. A named source, close advisor Jason Miller, said, quote, Trump effectively is the Republican Party. The only chasm is between Beltway insiders and grassroots Republicans around the country. When you attack President Trump, you are attacking the Republican grassroots. I agree with that. It's an identity issue. And those Beltway Republicans suck. They suck. Mitch McConnell? Really? Really? And every other one of you sopping wet P-words that after the insurrection, air quote, at the Capitol, stood up and vilified President Trump and all the people who were there to support him as some type of domestic terrorist, whatever her name was from Georgia that got elected running because of Trump's support, and then now all of a sudden she just can't, just absolutely morally can't do it. Nope. We're not going to certify the electors. Won't do it. Garbage human beings. You are garbage human beings. And sooner or later, if the Republican Party doesn't get it through their head. See, here's the thing. The Democrats were already done with. Already done with you. There's, as a party, not as a people, as a party, I have zero cares for you. I don't care. I don't care what your messaging is. I don't care what your ambitions are. I don't care what your lines of effort are. You're never going to ideologically convince me that it's a good idea to murder babies in the womb, that it's a good idea to create money out of thin air, that it's a good idea to pay people to do nothing, that it's a good idea to take money from me and give it to people that I don't know who haven't earned it without my voluntary consent. You're never going to convince me of those things. So ideologically, I already just don't flippin' care about you. You're out the window. Republicans, Beltway Republicans, if you don't get your shit together, and yeah, I said a bad word. I do say that occasionally. If you don't get your poop in a group, here's what's going to happen. These grassroots Republicans right here, these guys that 100% identify with Donald Trump and 0% identify with you, you're not going to be Beltway insiders anymore. These grassroots Republicans will come for you. That's make no mistake, it's not a threat. It's damn near a prophecy. They will come for you. And your $4,000 wingtip shoes won't matter anymore. You're going to want a pair of Nikes so you can run your ass out of there. It's, and I'm saying this to anybody who has political ears out there, the divide is that wide. We don't trust you. We don't like you. Many, many, many people believe that we currently have taxation without representation. We know what happened last time that happened. You don't want to be found on the wrong side of history. And right now, I would submit, you are. We don't like you. We barely tolerate you. That will change. That will change. It's up to you how that changes. We're not going to go backwards in time. We're not recreating the founding of this country. But whatever comes next, if I've got a say in it, is going to be honorific of the founding of this country. It's going to be honorific of our Judeo-Christian values. And scumbags like Beltway Republicans are going to have as little to do with it as possible. But I digress. The article goes on from here with a bunch of disinformation. The attack on the Capitol, which Trump incited, blah, 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 don't care. So, yeah, good times. Trump at CPAC has announced 1,033 people here. I appreciate y'all. Bless y'all. Trump at CPAC is announcing today, per an inside source, that he is the presumptive 2024 nominee. Assuming that he is, assuming that he makes that announcement, things could get real, real interesting. RefugeMedical.com. Appreciate y'all, boys and girls. You got a few more days to get signed up for Stop the Bleed class in Tennessee. Let's see, it's March 7th, so that's about 2 weeks away. So if you want to attend the four-hour Stop the Bleed class in Nashville, March 7th, there's a morning class at 9 to 1 and an afternoon class at 2 to 6. Let's see. It's in Southside, Tennessee, on the South Side. Four-hour class. Students will be responsible for their own meals and drinks. Cost of the class includes a North American Rescue TCCC trainer kit, which will be retained by the student. In other words, you get the stuff, the equipment that you're training with, you keep when you go to class. And so we got dates up here at RefugeMedical.com for Nashville, Tennessee, and Cartersville, Georgia. And, of course, let us not forget the fact that we make the most badass first aid kits in the world. Here's the bare fact right here. It's about this big. It does all these things, right? It's about this big. Handmade, made in America, guaranteed forever. If you break this thing, I'll replace it. If you use the contents of this kit to save a life, I'll replace them as well. These were designed and refined with input from United States Special Forces, United States Army, currently on four continents with four branches of the armed forces, serving honorably out there all over the world, also in the South China Sea right now. We got a whole bunch of Air Force nurses that are running these things as their trauma kits, which is, I think, super cool. Literally have these things on helicopters, submarines, MRAPs, the side of people's body armor and police cruisers, on the back of headrests and civilian vehicles. By the way, while this thing does exceed military specification, and that's why I made it, I was tired of the standard issue military IFAC, which is not that good. The first life that was saved with this kit was in a civilian motor vehicle accident in Canada. So the idea that, well, I'm not a high-speed, low-drag operator, that I don't need one of these. Are you a civilian that drives vehicles? My guess is probably yes, you should have one. And the reason why is, see, when you pop this thing open like so, you pull this red tab, the kit comes out. Now you got the kit. And so the outer pouch is keeping the innards nice and clean and dry, and it's taking all of the wear and tear, right? It's high, you know, military grade ballistic nylon. And then inside the kit, amongst many other things, as you can see here on the screen, you got this cat tourniquet. This is for arterial bleeding, and this is what saved that guy's life in a motor vehicle accident in Canada. Super cool. 13 lives saved with this kit already. But this is the backbone of it, is the cat tourniquet. So I won't dive through the kit with you. You can get these at refugemedical.com. Please use promo code BEARNATION. That gets you 10% off 24/7, 365, day, night, whatever. Bear Nation will get you 10% off everything in the store other than training, because we've got hard costs on training. But please check them out. We appreciate y'all. Thank you for supporting our American-made, guaranteed forever small business. This is how we pay the people that we love. This is how we keep the lights on. This is how we afford the internet. It's by making a product that serves a niche market and serves it well, and that we will stand behind for a lifetime. So we appreciate y'all. Bearfac at refugemedical.com. Moving right along. After the snow melts and the damages assessed, Winter Storm Yuri may be found to be one of the largest claims events in Texas history. The insurance industry is estimating billions of dollars in damage and hundreds of thousands of claims from this storm in Texas alone. As the snow thaws, additional damage to buildings will include burst water lines, flooded basements, and so on. Transportation is struggling in the aftermath of the storm. One Bear National working within the transportation industry reported delays of several days, depending on the area, as well as reduced inventory. Understandably, plumbing supplies, plumbers, and generators have been elusive for many. Lots of dairy was dumped, and many livestock died. One Oklahoman chicken farmer noted that 7 out of 9 of their chicken houses were out of feed because feed production was shut down due to natural gas rationing. According to reporting from the Texas Tribune, Texas's power grid was, quote, seconds and minutes away, end quote, from catastrophic failure. The resulting widespread blackouts could have lasted for months. This isn't just about people not being warm. This is about water safety and sanitation, the food chain, the supply chain, and basic day-to-day operations for expansive areas of the largest of the continental United States. So it's a big deal, one that we're going to hear more and more and more about in the days and weeks ahead. And I will do my best to not harp too much on the situation in Texas because, being completely frank, we have family, friends, and loved ones in Texas. I have a long history in Texas. My family has been in Texas for 200 years, and I'm about wore out with the reporting on Texas. But there are lessons to be learned in here, and we want to look at, from a preparedness standpoint, the long-term ramifications of this event. Energy production obviously being a massive one, but food production being another. We're already seeing constraints being put on food production right now. So if we look at TexasTribune.org I'm just reporting, Todd. I'm just reporting. I'm just documenting. 1,035 folks here, 549 likes. If you can throw us a thumbs up, that would be great. Please and thank ye. Texas was seconds and minutes away from catastrophic months-long blackouts, officials say. Could have left Texans in the dark for months, officials with ERCOT said on Thursday. As millions of customers throughout the state begin to have power restored after days of massive blackouts, officials with the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, or ERCOT, which operates the power grid that covers most of the state, said Texas was dangerously close to a worst-case scenario, uncontrolled blackouts across the state. The quick decision that grid operators made in the early hours of Monday morning to begin what was intended to be rolling blackouts, but lasted for millions of Texans, occurred because operators were seeing warning signs that massive amounts of energy supply was dropping off the grid. Excuse me. As natural gas-fired plants, utility-scale wind, and coal plants tripped offline due to extreme cold brought by the winter storm, the amount of power supplied to the grid to be distributed across the state fell rapidly. At the same time, demand was increasing as consumers and businesses turned up the heat and stayed inside to avoid the weather. So, the article goes on and on and on from here. You can find this article if you're on Patreon. It's right up here. It's right up here. It's in the links in the video description. And on YouTube, it's in the freaking description as well. So, yeah, you can find it there. I don't want to read the entirety of this article, but a couple more excerpts. As chaotic as it was, the whole grid could have been in blackout. ERCOT is getting a lot of heat, but the fact that it wasn't worse is because of those grid operators. Agreed, but also ERCOT, the operators did a great job dealing with the mess that was created by not having enough headroom in the system to deal with dynamic surges on the demand side, because you maximized profitability by having as little headroom as possible. And profitability is good. It's what drives capitalism. But there is an argument to be made, and specifically right now, that maybe we make 5 less percentage points on profit and we have 5 more percentage points in surge capacity. That could have saved a lot of problems. Could have saved a lot of problems, a lot of headaches, a lot of heartache, struggle, and strife. Redundancy is key. And this is why I tell you guys and girls all the time out there in the Bear Nation, you want to have some type of backup for yourself. So we have, in Bear Camp where we are, we have a lot of combustion generation. We have a little bit of solar, and we'll be adding more solar this year. And then, you know, basic things like fuel. You know, diesel, firewood, gasoline, propane, kerosene, fuel. Like, have extra fuel around. And again, not because, you know, China is going to talk North Korea into dropping a nuclear weapon on, you know, Sheboygan. Possible? Yes. Probable? No, not really probable. But because of all the things that happen every day, right? So, yet again, another great opportunity to evangelize about preparedness. These issues are only the newest layers in an ongoing transportation problem lasagna. That's right, I said lasagna. I hope you're still listening, honey. Remember, the shipping container congestion in the ports and all the related effects continue from last year. One Texan said, quote, "My husband works for a larger water well install and service company. We've already had an issue getting pumps and repair parts since the summer of 2020. The windmill cylinders have been impossible to find since last year. Supply is short, to say the least. Hubs and his boss braved the closed roads days ago to get whatever they could because our wait list is over 15 pages long as of yesterday. We have several whole neighborhood water systems in line for service. The situation around here is mass devastation regarding wells, windmills, and plumbing. If you have had issues with your well, pump, windmill, or plumbing, please call now to get on any waiting list you can. It'll be months before we can get to all these calls. Praying more parts become available, but it's unlikely with demand now statewide. So, I have reluctantly spent $950 in plumbing components in the last 3 days. That's just the materials for two houses, ours and grandma's, where pretty much every damn pipe that could burst did burst because our house is old and it was plumbed with CPVC, which is not the greatest. And so my wife and a badass brother spent most of yesterday underneath the house in the water and the mud and the whole nine replumbing the house. And today there's more to do. And I will tell you point blank, the almost $1,000 that I've spent on plumbing materials required me to make three different trips to three different retailers just to be able to find pieces to cobble together to make it fit, because there's nothing. There's the inventory is very low, very low. And it's no longer organized. It used to be a coin toss as to whether or not you might actually be able to find the part you were looking for in the bin it's supposed to be in the plumbing section of Home Depot or Lowe's. Forget it. Not anymore. It's just absolute chaos. So, yeah, redundancy is good. Redundancy is good. We still have a live stream? We do indeed have a live stream. 1,130 people. Good morning, 1,130 people. Winter storm slams Texas food supply chains and logistics networks. So this is from Supply Chain Dive. Dive brief. Stocks were running down at grocery stores across Texas. Governor Greg Abbott said at a news conference Thursday as winter storms crippled the state and left millions without power and under a boil water advisory. HEB, the HEB, which has the best damn chili packet mix. Oh, they're so good. HEB makes a great little, their sauces and gravies, and they're like a buck. They're awesome. I miss the HEB. HEB noted severe disruption in the food supply chain in a Friday morning update. Quote, for HEB, this means temporary impacts to manufacturing, warehousing, and store operations, end quote. The grocery retailer placed limits on some items and halted curbside pickup and home delivery. The storm is also delaying cross-border shipments. Laredo, Texas crossings that typically take 1 day are taking 2 or 3 days, said Deepak Shugani, CEO of Nuvo Cargo, a digital freight forwarder and customs broker for the U.S.-Mexico trade. Quote, all industries are being affected by the situation. However, due to the time-sensitive nature of the products, perishables could suffer more than other industries due to delays, he said in an email. By the way, Laredo, Texas, great place to get mugged and have your truck stolen. Probably don't want to be going there, unless it's changed significantly since the last time that I was there. This article goes on from here. There's quite a bit that's in this article. It's nothing that we haven't already discussed, but the point here is that what might seem like an isolated event, because of the constricting of resources, which we've talked about, there's less fluff in the system. Some of that is by design with just-in-time logistics and, you know, like we've talked about with transportation, with trying to maximize profitability, like we just talked about with the Texas grid and not having the headroom and the production capacity. So some of that's intentional, no fluff in the system. Some of it is unintentional. For example, having the winter weather kill off a massive amount of wheat, or drought that didn't, you know, 2018, 2019, drought that did not allow corn to grow. That's not intentional. The soybean demand around the world right now is massive. That's an unintentional external effect on the supply here. as the fluff is reduced from the system, we, you and I, if you're within the sound of my voice, have to do a better job of taking personal responsibility. You know, stuck in my head, but I was watching that Arkansas Living video yesterday. And by the way, if you're not watching Arkansas Living, you should go give that man a follow. He's a really, really good dude. He's got good videos, says good things, his heart's in the right place, and he's honest about his preparedness journey, which is very cool. So Arkansas Living said in the video yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever it was, he was talking about just lessons learned and, well, you know, I've lost my train of thought. That's okay. I look over here at my Bible and it's Psalms 96, and I'm looking over here at this car in the snowstorm, and I guess the point I was trying to make is go check out Arkansas Living. It'll come back to me. When it does, we'll hit it again. I did want to shout out the Make Us flag from Freedom's Memory over here, and I've included a link in the description on both Patreon and YouTube. This flag right here. Normally, if you're tuning in on Mondays, you'd see me up on the board doing the threat matrix, but that's the threat matrix now. We're at the Make Us stage. We're at the Make Us stage, says me. World's a mess. We're going to take your guns, or you got to turn in your guns, Make Us. You need to comply, Make Us. You need to take the vaccine, Make Us. Sir, you need to wear a mask, Make Us. Sir, you're going to have to stay home, Make Us. Sorry, sir, you're not allowed in here, Make Us. That's where I'm at with it. You can get these flags right here at freedoms-memory.com or freedoms-memory.myshopify.com. It's kind of a wonky URL, so like I said, I included it in the description on Patreon and YouTube. Now, I also told you I've been working on last few days trying to put in an hour or two per day on the Great Reset, better understanding what is the Great Reset. It's something we've talked quite a bit about here, and I've said honestly that while I disagree with their mission, with their objectives, and their lines of effort, I am covetous, I am jealous of how well they lay this out. And we, us, need to be able to understand and articulate what it is that they're trying to do. Because that's the real hallmark of being appropriately informed of any subject, is that you can articulate both sides of the argument. And then B, we need to have, I would submit, we need to have alternatives, we need to have options to what their lines of effort are, what they're trying to accomplish. If we ideologically disagree, if we're at Make Us mode with what they're trying to do, the question becomes, well, what's the alternative? And we have to acknowledge we're not going back in time. We can honor what has already occurred beforehand, as I think we should, but we're not going back in time. So what are we making that's new? Okay? They want a great reset. Do we want a great reemergence? Or, I don't know. I haven't figured out the branding yet. But I've been taking a lot of time here lately to investigate these things line by line. And thus far, I have, if you can see right here, page 1 of 48 thus far. And I'm about 20% done of putting the bones together for the Great Reset. Just fleshing, not even fleshing out the bones, just assembling the skeleton. Page 1 of 48. So one of the things that I did want to look at, and as this document continues to develop, and I will make it available, it'll be available first and foremost on Patreon and then perhaps out to the world from there. But it's the bones aren't even ready to be published yet. I'm still working on it. But if we look over here at who are these people? I'm asking some foundational questions. First and foremost, what is the mission? The mission for them, again, to understand them, where they are, is the Great Reset. What is that? The world is at a historic crossroads as economies everywhere attempt to, this is from their website, attempt to pull themselves out of a COVID-19-induced hiatus. The damage inflicted has been horrific in terms of lives taken and livelihoods lost. However, it also presents an opportunity to rebuild in a more inclusive and responsible way. Build back better. Coronavirus-related lockdowns provided a glimpse of what is possible in terms of limiting pollution. Lockdowns, they're painting lockdowns. I'm sorry, I'm going to try not to editorialize here. They're painting lockdowns in a positive light. What's possible in terms of limiting pollution. And the pandemic's human toll illustrated what can happen when a healthcare system and social safety nets are neglected. Now it is up to leaders in the private and public sector to seize the moment and help create a more equitable and sustainable society. And a lot of this sounds like fluff. It's like, who cares, dude? Until you see who's involved. So, from Klaus Schwab, which is just the perfect name for somebody hell-bent on world domination, the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. Okay, so, and John L. Peterson, president and founder of the Arlington Institute, said the next 5 to 7 years are going to be the most extraordinary time in the history of the planet. Literally. The question becomes, of course, how do you deal with that and where is it going? Now, this quote resonates with me. Now, I think it resonates with me for different reasons than the ideology that drives John L. Peterson, the president and founder of the Arlington Institute. But let's take them at face value. Let's believe that they mean what they say, okay? The next 5 to 7 years are going to be the most extraordinary time in the history of the planet, literally. The question becomes, of course, how do you deal with that and where is it going? So, how do you deal with that? Dealing, at least in my mind, is reactive. How do we react to chaos? Well, it's everything we've been talking about. Have food in your pantry. Have water storage. Have fuel. Have heat. Have a meaningful relationship with people that love you and are also in positions of strength so they can take care of you and y'all can take care of each other if things go bad, right? It's everything we talk about here from a preparedness standpoint. For me, right? In the militant farmer concept, grow food, protect the people that you love. Cool. So how do you deal with that? And where is it going? That's the big question. Because we know where they want it to go. They've laid it out perfectly here at this. This is from intelligence.weforum.org. Links to all this is in the description. We know where they want it to go. They know where they want it to go. What's our alternative? And it can't just be, we got to do something. I know, Bubba, I get it. What? I don't know, but I'm going to go down there with my plate carrier and my AR. Yeah, that's an option. Is it the only option? Because I got news for you. I got news for me. They are so well-funded, well-organized, that going down there with your AR-15 and your plate carrier is probably going to be the last thing that you want to do. Okay? So let's hop back over to here. So foundational questions, what's the mission? And then one of the first questions I asked is who? Who are we talking about here? Who are the people involved with this? And so from an article that we posted last week from Medium, it detailed a bit of who was involved. Presenters at the Great Reset Initiative. There were about 600 online attendees. The identities of these online attendees are thus far unknown. The presenters are below. Backgrounds from Wiki. Just no flesh, not even 20% of the bones yet. I know Wikipedia is not the best, but here we are. So Prince Charles was there. Interestingly, did you know that Prince Charles is the second highest ranking member of the military in three countries? Yeah. Great Britain, Canada, and Australia. Yeah. Honorary five-star rank, and he has an honorary five-star rank in all three branches of the British Armed Forces to acknowledge his support in her role as Commander-in-Chief, installing him as the Admiral of the Fleet, Field Marshal, and Marshal of the Royal Air Force. Yeah, interestingly. Right here you can see, and this is from Wiki. I didn't type this up. In January 2020, Prince of Wales became the first British patron of the International Rescue Committee, a charity which aims to help refugees and those displaced by war, persecution, and natural disaster. I would also, and I don't have any evidence to support this yet, but it would be my guess that because you find a lot of these people, a lot of these, in my opinion, scumbags are also directly tied to disaster relief and trafficking. And I think that what they're doing is graft, skimming off the top. They're in the business of people. And so they put themselves in situations where they deal with desperate people because they're in the business of people. I cannot back that statement up with proof yet, but it feels that way to me thus far. And so I'm going to let that statement hang there. In May 2020, the Prince of Wales Sustainable Markets Initiative and the World Economic Forum launched the Great Reset Project, a five-point plan concerned about enhancing sustainable economic growth following the global recession caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. All right, so you got Prince Charles, Klaus Schwab. Klaus is, he's a guy. Awards and activities, UN High Level Advisory Board, UN Committee for Development Planning, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, for his contribution into developing the concept of the Fourth Industrial Revolution. So the thing that one of the cornerstones of the Great Reset is acknowledging that there is a Fourth Industrial Revolution, and therefore we have to, the way that we build back better must be different than the way we've done it in the past. And that may or may not be true, but understand that this is the tail wagging the dog at this point. Klaus Schwab developed the idea of the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Hegelian dialectic. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Control the outcome. All right, and it's Klaus Schwab, also right here, no tinfoil required. During the earlier years of his career, he was on a number of company boards such as the Swatch Group, the Daily Mail Group, the Vontobel Holding. He's a former member of the steering committee of the Bilderberg Group, the Bilderbergers. Yeah, right there in black and white and blue because there's a link right there, interestingly. Honorary member at FC Bayern Munich. This Kristalina Georgieva woman is, I've never heard of this woman until I started digging on her. She, the involvement that she has is insane. And she's involved from an economic standpoint. Huge ties to the World Bank, United Nations, University of National and World Economy in Bulgaria. She's tied to Antonio Guterres, who's the Secretary General of the UN. I'm really trying to not take too much time on these people, but look at this. Georgieva holds a PhD in economics and a master's in political economy and sociology from the Karl Marx Higher Institute of Economics. So the economic expert on the panel for the Great Reset was trained up in the Karl Marx Higher Institute of Economics. And by the way, this is from Wikipedia. You can go right here and click Georgieva. There she is. And it pops right up. And it's right in her Wikipedia article. I'm not making this up. This is copy-pasted for my own purposes for developing a background and a foundational understanding of what I'm dealing with here so that then we can begin to pick apart their lines of effort as a group to plot our course forward. But understand who we're up against here, okay? Thus far, we've discussed the Prince of Wales, the guy who invented the Fourth Industrial Revolution and is a mega bazillionaire, the lady who's in charge of the World Bank and International Monetary Fund, who was trained up at the Karl Marx Economic University. And yeah, this Georgieva, her background is just crazy. Some of the nonprofits that she's associated with, the World Economic Forum, Global Commission on Adaptation, Generation Unlimited, Paris Peace Forum, the European Council on Foreign Relations. The Council on Foreign Relations. Remember, that was like straight up like tinfoil hat conspiracy theory stuff even just a few years ago. Yep, European Council on Foreign Relations, University of National and World Economy, Women's Political Leaders, the Institute for Sustainable Communities, and on and on and on and on and on. The UN Secretary General, who is a member of the Portuguese Socialist Party and served as the Prime Minister of Portugal from 1995 to 2002. So the UN Secretary General is a member of the Portuguese Socialist Party. Gutierrez served as the Secretary General of the Socialist Party from 1992 to 2002. He was elected Prime Minister of Portugal. And for some of y'all, this is not a surprise at all, but for a lot of y'all, I think it should be. And he was presenting on behalf of Klaus Schwab and Prince Charles at the Great Reset Initiative on 3 June 2020. Gutierrez's political career began in 1974 when he became a member of the Socialist Party. His entire political career has been as a member of the Socialist Party. Do I even still have a live stream? I do have a live stream. 1,239 people. Good morning, everybody. That's wonderful. So, UN Director General, lifelong socialist, here's all of his background, and on from here. There's a couple more very interesting ones that I want to hit, just because I think you're going to start to see you're going to see where this all starts to come together. So, Managing Director of the World Bank, Caroline Anstey, and she's what's known as a World Bank Sherpa to the G20 and the G7. And what the Sherpas do is they go before all the dignitaries and power heads get there, and they broker the deals before the heavy hitters get there so that you're not wasting the time of the heavy hitters, which means that this woman has experience negotiating on the highest level. And she has all the same connections as everybody else on the panel. Lots of publications that she's written, but think about this. Wrote a book in 2010, The Millennium Development Goals and the Road to 2015, Building on Progress and Responding to Crisis. She literally wrote the book on it. The Projection of British Socialism, Foreign Office Publicity, and American Opinion. AJ Singh Banga, this dude is the president and chief executive officer of MasterCard, and he has right here all the same connections. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and a member of the International Business Council on the World Economic Forum, and he's got all the same connections. Sharon Burrow, I believe this is the lady that I'm looking for. She's a unionizer, labor organization. Let's see. All the same connections. No, this is it. Victorio Alonso Perez, UN young leader and founder. Of course, she's tied in with the UN, which is Antonio Gutierrez, who's tied in with Georgieva, who's tied in with Klaus Schwab, who's tied in with Prince Charles. Right? It's all the same circles. Victoria Alonso Perez. Oh, and by the way, when Trump said, hey, we need to get out of the UN, they're working against us and we're paying 80-90% of that, he was right. Absolutely right. This is what we've been funding in large part. Victoria Alonso Perez, UN young leader and founder and chief executive officer of Chip Cipher. This woman presented to the Great Reset to 600 plus attendees on a virtual online summit. We don't know who those attendees were, but check this out. Uruguayan electronics and telecommunications engineer and entrepreneur, she invented Chip Cipher, a software platform to track cattle and remotely autonomously detect anomalies in their behavior. So Georgieva and the World Bank freed up $1 trillion. That's so a billion is a million, and yeah, 100 million, yeah, $1 trillion. Okay, so you're talking $1,000 billion has been freed up by Georgieva to throw at the problems that have been brought up during the Great Reset. Or I'm sorry, by COVID-19, which necessitates the Great Reset. Remember, we've been saying for over a year now that the Great Reset, they are synonymous, that COVID-19 was nothing more than a way to crash land the world's economies. I didn't have the understanding that I have now. But the more I dig into this, the crazier that it gets. Crash land the world's economies. Why? Hegelian dialectic. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Because they can control the synthesis. They will control how we build back better to make it more like what they want, less like what we want. So this Victoria Alonso Perez right here is a Uruguayan electronics and telecommunications engineer and entrepreneur. She invented Chip Cipher, a software platform to track cattle and remotely and autonomously detect anomalies in their behavior. I got news for you, Bear Nation. We're the cattle. That hit me like a ton of bricks when I saw that. At 12 years old, Alonso Perez invented a monitoring system to track the behavior of cattle, which could be used to prevent a repeat disaster of the 2001 foot and mouth disease outbreak or the 2019 coronavirus outbreak, I'm sure. And she's got on and on from there. Ma Jun, chairman of China's Green Finance, and he's got all the same connections. And Juliana Rotich, venture partner with Atlantica Ventures and founder of Ushahidi, a crowdsourced data gathering platform. So what Ushahidi does is create the technological applications that are required to get people in emerging markets, aka third world slums, certain parts of Africa, certain parts of India, certain parts of Asia, to get them on board with vaccination, and it tracks the population as to how they're vaccinated. And so if you take this Juliana Rosich and her Ushahidi technology that's being funded by Georgieva and combine that with the technology that came up that was put together by Victoria Alonso Perez to track cattle so that they don't spread disease, the overarching picture here starts to look a little, you don't need much tinfoil wrapped around your head to be a modicum, just a slightly concerned here. And guys, this is only page 23 of 48 thus far that of things that I've looked into. And we're not going to spend any more time on this morning. But I've been telling y'all, and I've meant it, hey, we need to do a better job of understanding what their lines of effort are and how they're going to accomplish it. And it hit me like a ton of bricks a few days ago. I am part of we, and if I'm admonishing you to develop a better understanding of this, then I need to have a better understanding of this as well. And I'm telling you point blank, there's 70-some lines of effort here. It's going to take me forever and a day to figure out what this is and unpack it. But if we as a group can start working together to unpack these things and offer real alternatives to these things, we get some say in what comes next. Right now, they have all the say. And this is not tinfoil hat conspiracy theories. For God's sakes, they're telling people to wear two masks and stay home from work, and maybe, maybe we'll give you enough money to live on, and people are going along with it. Not you, not me, but a large enough portion of the population is going along with it that they don't have to be concerned. And so, as Christian from the Ice Age Farmer has asked, where's the line? Well, one of my lines is right here, this Great Reset. It does not look like something I want to participate in. And call me crazy, but you don't get to twist my arm and make me participate. So I'm not gonna. But I have to be able to offer real alternatives, both to myself and my home, because I might want to, you know, buy some Honey Nut Cheerios again one day. It'd be nice to be able to do business. Or I might need to explain to somebody why they need to not be part of this. We need to better understand what it is that the opposition is trying to do so that we can counteract that for ourselves and for our community as a whole. And so I would encourage you strongly to continue to look into this Great Reset. Learn as much as you can about it and go use their own words against them. You can find them just DuckDuckGo, WEF, World Economic Forum, The Great Reset, and you'll find it. It's all here. It's all here, boys and girls. It's all here. Cornfed, good morning. All the Blue Wrenches, good morning, everybody. I appreciate y'all. All right. So, silver linings. It's been colder than, this is from a viewer, it's been colder than Pelosi's reptilian heart here in North Texas, but thanks to minor steps towards preparedness over the past year, my girlfriend and I have not been terribly uncomfortable over the last week. We both had cars with full tanks before the storms hit, and an extra tank of gas on standby, a month of food and water, ways to cook food without power, and plenty of power banks to keep communication lines open. Thanks to all of this, we never had to go to the store and fight the crowds for food and water, and never had to worry about running out of supplies. It's been a blessing to carry through this ordeal with an easy mind and focus on reading my Bible over the past week while waiting for the lights to come on. Amen. And good job, Texan. Good job, Texan. Another viewer said, your straightforward, no-nonsense take on everything has really helped me set my mind on the right path towards our current situation and how to prepare for what may lie ahead. I've restarted my garden and plan to expand it this spring to be able to grow more food. I'm also hoping to at least double my long-term food preps and set up better rain collection system. Thank you for helping me get back on the right path to getting prepared for what is ahead. You're welcome. Thank you for being obedient to the conviction of your heart and doing it. So keep doing it and teach others how to do it as well. And one more viewer said, recently one of my bug out locations fell prey to Snowmageddon and lost power. Thanks to my on-site preparations through Yah's convictions, there were plenty of resources to see the owner of the property through. Hope this will also open their eyes to the things they have overlooked. Bless you, Bear, and to all who you influence. Take care, Bear Nation. Amen. Well, it's that time of the brief. It's beginning to look a lot like Grindstone. Sorry. Grindstone Ministries, Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one brother sharpens the face of his friend. Or, so one brother sharpens another is another common interpretation. Grindstone is a construction ministry. We are building Caleb House, which is a separate 501c3, and we are also building the Caleb House team, which will operate Caleb House. And Caleb House is a restoration facility for survivors of human trafficking, specifically juvenile survivors of human trafficking. The statistics are horrific. There's 420 beds in the United States to combat a $150 $1 billion per year industry in the United States. That's correct. That's what perverted piece of shit scumbags pay for child porn and to serial rape children here in the United States every year. $150 billion per year. And there's only 420 beds to combat that. The average victim is between 8 and 12 years old. And the average victim has only been serially raped 30 times. Two-thirds girls, one-third boys. They have, as a result of their trafficking, educational issues. They have gaps in their education. They sometimes have law enforcement issues because of the circumstances of their trafficking. They have addiction issues because of the circumstances of their trafficking, physical, mental, spiritual issues. And so we were convicted when we were at Bethany House as Grindstone working on Bethany House. Praise the Father, this place is up and running. It's going to help restore children. We need 1,000 more. So we're building 1,000 more. I don't know how. I don't have the money. I don't have the land yet. But I have the Father. I have the conviction. I have the commitment to the conviction. And I have y'all. And we're about halfway there with what we need to purchase land, we think. And I am not straying from this mission at all. So if you'd like to assist Grindstone Ministries in the building of Caleb House so that we can get another 60 beds up and running to combat this $150 billion per year industry and provide a biblical covering to orphans and break generational curses, you can check us out at grindstoneministries.com. Yeah. Psalms 96. Sing to Yahuwah a new song. Sing to Yahuwah all the earth. Sing to Yahuwah and bless his name. Proclaim his deliverance from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For great is Yahuwah and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all mighty ones. For all mighty ones of the peoples are matters of nothing, but Yahuwah made the heavens. Excellency and splendor are before him. Strength and comeliness are his set apart place. Ascribe to Yahuwah, O clans of the peoples. Ascribe to Yahuwah esteem and strength. Ascribe to Yahuwah the esteem of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Bow yourselves to Yahuwah in the splendor of set apartness, of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among nations, Yahuwah shall reign. The world is also established, immovable. He judges the people in straightness. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and all that is in it. And let all the trees of the forest then shout for joy at the presence of Yahuwah. For he shall come and he shall come to judge the earth. And he judges the world in righteousness. And the peoples with his truth. Good morning, Father Yah. Father, I lift up everybody who's reluctantly listening along right now, who maybe this is the first time that they've stayed for this portion of the program.
I lift them up to you, and I pray that right now you would just manifest yourself in their life. Father, that you would shine light into darkness. Father, that anything that's in there or in me or within the sound of my voice that's not of you would be banished in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach and GTFO. Father, that they would feel a weight lifted, the tightness in their chest loosening, the peace in the forefront of their mind and in their hearts, that you would be indwelt in them. Father, I thank you for tarrying after reluctant people like me. I thank you for relentlessly pursuing your children and for proving over and over again that your arms are longer than our legs. We cannot run far enough away from you if we would just simply teshuvah, turn back to you and come back into your presence. Just say, Dad, here I am. Father, here I am. Daddy, love me. Help me. I need you. Father Yah, you are awesome. You are all powerful. You are almighty. So many would ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Why does the Father allow these things to happen? Why does the Father allow children to be sold like cattle? Why won't he do something? And the answer is, you are. You made us. You convicted us. You're empowering us, you're equipping us, you're training us, you're giving us everything we need to be your hands and feet. And you've never forsaken us. You've never failed to give us what we need when we needed it. You've never failed to provide the guidance that we've needed, or the strength, or the power, or the authority. And Father, I thank you for crushing us with conviction. Father, I thank you for pruning away the dead limbs on our branch of life. Father, I thank you for just proving over and over again how sovereign you are. And I thank you for the opportunity to be in partnership with you. Do my worldly best to be a steward of the talents that you've given me. To speak for those that can't speak for themselves. To rescue those who cannot rescue themselves. To reach people for you. And Father, I thank you for bearing that weight, because I can't. Father, thank you for all these within the sound of my voice. Father, I pray that you'd bless them. I pray that you'd bless our businesses and our ministry. That you would just give us this day our daily bread. And Father, that you'd give us peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, thank you for Yeshua, for the covering of his blood. And I ask all these things in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Bless y'all. Shalom.